Problem Solved is supported by ACAM, a property management company serving the New York metro area and South Florida since 1983. Focusing exclusively on third-party property management, ACAM delivers a wide range of services, including capital project management, compliance, energy management, staff hospitality training, and industry-leading technology. To learn how ACAM can service your building, visit ACAM.com today. Welcome to Problem Solved, a conversation about problems that have been solved in New York's co-op and condo buildings. I'm Carol Ott, publisher and editor-in-chief of Habitat Magazine. My guest today is Michael Scorano, managing director and founder of the NPower Group, a New York City energy engineering firm. New York City buildings are in the midst of a huge transformation to reduce carbon emissions, spurred on by the Climate Mobilization Act. It's a complicated road, and Michael is here to share how one building on Manhattan's east side is traversing it. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks for having me today.
Before the Climate Mobilization Act, you began working on this building. It was using Con Ed steam for its heating and cooling, and the air conditioning equipment was on the roof. Why did they call you in?
So like a lot of these buildings that were built in the 60s, they were reaching their end of their infrastructure life. So a lot of the equipment that was actually installed in the building was really installed when the building was first constructed. And they were having some multiple problems with the equipment in terms of how it was operating and general concerns that way. The building also had some infrastructure issues on its distribution system as well. So they were experiencing leaks in the summertime as the air conditioner run. It would sweat and get condensate, and they were going into the drains. The drains were in older condition, so they had experienced leaks in the building and ruining shareholders' apartment floors. And they also knew, looking at their energy cost, that they were on Con Ed steam, which is the most expensive form of heating you can use and also cooling as well. And they were really just looking to see how they could actually attack the problems fullfold and by A, reducing costs to make it more economical for the shareholders, and B, look to try to set the building up going forward for the next 50 years.
Can you tell us what was their utility cost before you did any work?
Based on their 2016 usage data, they were spending roughly around $279,000 for Con Ed steam, which was used for heating and cooling. In the wintertime, they spent about $155,000 of that, and in the summertime was roughly around $123,000. The building also used natural gas for cooking and dryers, and they also had an electricity bill for the common area of $159,680. So all in total, this building was spending around $450,000 of utility costs, of which almost $300,000 was just for heating and cooling and making domestic hot water in the building. So quite a lot of money for a building this size in terms of the number of residents it has, as well as the square footage.
So what was your plan and how was it accomplished?
Good question. When buildings engage us, we like to start off with some sort of feasibility analysis to look at how the building, what they could do. So we looked at, first of all, how can we get them off of Con Ed steam? Because we knew that would be a much better way to allow them to heat and cool the building. And then also, what could we do to help further reduce their energy and make the constructability of the project much better? So we had looked at various different options for the building. At the end of the day, what we finally came up with was getting rid of Con Ed steam for heat, connecting to the natural gas system and putting in very high efficiency, small modular hot water boilers to provide heating and domestic hot water for the building. And on the cooling side, we looked at putting in electric modular equipment. And by using the smaller modular equipment, eliminated a lot of the potential construction costs that might have been required to hoist a large piece of equipment up on the roof. So we're really trying to look at how we could best maximize the use of the infrastructure that was there and also to be able to make it easy and cost effective when we went forward for construction.
And were there any bumps along the road to doing that?
Anytime you have services that are on the roof, you have to get services from the basement up to the roof. When we were coming in and trying to find a way to bring a new electric line up to the roof and a new gas line up to the roof in order to power the boiler and also power the electric chillers. So it was definitely difficult to kind of find a path. Fortunately, this building had a staircase that was sort of wide in the middle, and we were able to design a fireproof chase and put the utilities in that. That was like the heating and cooling plant, so how they were going to make the energy. But this building also had a desire to replace the distribution infrastructure in the building, because again, a lot of these buildings of this exact vintage are currently now going through where their existing distribution piping for pushing hot water, cold water around the building are starting to become also towards the end of their life, and where the tubes and the pipes are prone to either leaks or they get condensate problems in the summertime when they run their air conditioning system, which caused a lot of damage to shareholders' apartments. So that was a very challenging project, because while we did our best to lay out exactly where everything was, what we could see in the building, piping and construction practices as they were, always didn't line up with what you would think or the original drawings would have shown. So we definitely found piping that was not where it was supposed to be, or if you were looking back, you were scratching your head, like, what was that person thinking when they actually did this, and how would they have run that way? I can only imagine they built the building, they ran into a wall themselves, and they just took care of something at that time. But clearly the ramifications that it had later on for us doing the project was we had to reroute piping, or we found piping in areas that shouldn't be, and we had to design around that, those type of things. And the last point on challenges, clearly we had started this building prior to the pandemic, and we had done the heating and cooling plant, which went fairly smooth overall, except for some of the challenges I described on how we were going to get power upstairs and back downstairs and gas as well. But clearly in the middle of when we were actually doing the work on the distribution part, we ran into an issue of the pandemic and the job had to shut down. Anytime you're in the middle of something, you have to shut down. It creates a lot of turmoil that way as well. And then we had to restart the project a year and a half later to finish it up in a time. So that obviously caused a challenge as well on how do you manage and navigate the shutting down of a project and then coming back a couple years later and sort of picking it back up and trying not to lose a beat.
At the end of the day, so they wanted to reduce their utility cost, did they?
Yeah, 100%. So this building, when we actually went through and redid everything, was able to save an enormous amount of energy. They were able to reduce their heating and cooling costs by more than 50%. So they went from $300 down to below $150,000. Their letter grade went up from a letter grade of a D into a nice solid B range. And they would have been facing a $66,000 a year penalty starting in cycle 2030 under the Carbon Mobilization Act. And by doing this project, they're not going to have any penalties associated with the building through the 2034 period.
So I'm curious, this building chose to go from steam to gas, and this happened before the climate mobilization requirements. But I'm wondering today, if a building with the same kind of a configuration came to you, should the board consider skipping gas and going straight to electric?
That's a good question. I would say in all roads on the cooling side, we would always go to electric chillers that way, because that's definitely much more economical and does help meet the requirements under the Carbon Mobilization Act. For the heating side, we like to evaluate what the building is actually going to do and how far off they are on their target. And not only look at the carbon score, but also look at the operating expense that it would cost to go from steam heating or gas heating over to electric heating. For this particular building, since they weren't that far off from their carbon score, they would have achieved a $66,000 penalty if they had done nothing. They didn't have too far to go. And when we did all the analysis for them, staying on natural gas definitely was a more economical way to go, meaning they would save more money on the operating cost for the small modular high efficiency boilers that we put in. And their carbon penalty wasn't achieved. So again, in this case, we would have stayed with what the configuration we did. Now, we do look at a lot of other buildings, and depending on how far off they are on their carbon score, there's plenty of buildings that we're out there looking at now where we would actually look to put them on electric heating as well as cooling.
So as a takeaway for boards who are in the same kind of configuration that this building is, and for boards considering a utility transition, if you will, what would you recommend the few things that they keep in mind?
I think the first thing to do is to always take a look and have somebody come in and properly evaluate you as a building and how you're operating. the board should take a look at their current baseline score and the infrastructure they have in place and look to different options that they could actually implement. I think with all this stuff, it's not one size fits all. We try to look at putting together a very nice, simple roadmap for buildings to follow. And this way they make the decision tree that the building is considering easy. So again, I'd say just certainly the biggest thing to take away is to certainly look to work with somebody that is very familiar with the New York City infrastructure and buildings, and that can, and obviously look to put together various options for the building for the board to consider, you know, with sort of a focus on what the most cost effective would be for that particular building.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Carol. I appreciate always your time.